Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and today is April 21st, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, first go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon. That reroutes you directly to Amazon, but it puts our affiliate link in so we get credit for redirecting you. By doing this, we actually get a small commission, 4% off of whatever you purchase. Doesn't cost anything extra, but we greatly appreciate it. I say we, it's me, but we, anyways, I have a mouse in my pocket. So anyways, let's get into today's show. We have two episodes of Challenge of the Yukon. The first episode is The Hannigan Brothers. Original air dates February 24th, 1944. And the second one is The Great Dog King. Original air dates March 2nd, 1944. Hope you guys enjoy.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
A king! A new husky!
The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. When Joe Hannigan walked into the Yellow Nugget Cafe in Dobie City with his small daughter Dolores, the eyes of every man in the crowded room turned to him. It was unusual to see a man bring a small girl into a cafe.
What can I do for you, stranger?
This Mike Hannigan's place?
Yep.
I want to see him.
Mike don't see just anyone, mister.
He'll see me, all right.
What's your name?
Hannigan. Tell him his brother's here.
As Joe stood looking about him, nothing escaped his notice. He watched the gold changing hands at the card tables and speculated about the profits in the cafe business in the Yukon. The noise of the cafe gave way, and he remembered with twisted humor the series of events that had led his brother Mike from Seattle to the Yukon.
Yeah, Doris is a wonderful girl. The first time I ever laid eyes on her, Joe, I knew there'd never be anyone else for me.
Mm.
There's only one thing that bothers me.
What's that?
That dog of hers. I don't like dogs. I never did. But she's crazy about all dogs. I don't know what it is, but somehow or other, she seems to talk their language. Well, come on. I promised I'd stop over to see her before I leave town.
Oh, Mike, before you leave, I wonder if you'd do something for me.
Sure. What is it?
Wags needs a new collar. Will you bring one back with you?
Uh-huh. Like the one he had before?
That's right. I'll go to the door with you.
Fine. Oh, so long, Joe.
Bye, Mike. Have a nice trip.
Yeah. I'll only be gone a few days.
No way. You stay in here with Joe.
I'll keep an eye on him. I'll keep an eye on you. The ugly mutt. I never knew of anyone winning a girl by poisoning her dog. Wait till Mike gets back here with that dog collar. Him buying a collar for a dead dog. And I'll be buying a wedding ring for his girl.
He always hated Wags. I knew it. He didn't make any secret of it, but I never thought he'd kill him.
Well, maybe he was jealous of him, Doris. He probably felt you thought more of poor old Wags than you did of him. He didn't mean any harm, I'm sure.
Wags! How he could be so cruel.
Joe remembered Doris had turned to him. And a short time later, they were married. Mike left Seattle before the wedding. If, after her marriage, Doris realized her mistake, she never said anything. Yes, Joe remembered. 10 years was a long time.
Here he is, Mike. Says his name is Hannigan.
Joe.
Hello, Mike. Quite a layout you got here.
How've you been? When'd you...
Oh, this is Dolores, Mike.
Dolores, huh?
Hello.
Well, I'll be... You know, Dolores, you look just like your mother.
Do I? I don't remember my mother.
I do. She was a very beautiful woman. How do you like it up here in the Yukon?
Oh, I like it fine. Especially, I like the dogs.
That's another way she's like her mother, Mike. Has that same way of making friends with every stray dog that comes along.
You sure do look a lot like my daddy.
A smart little thing, too. Say, Joe, how's everything going for you? I mean, how are you fixed for money?
Well, ever since Doris died, me and the kid...
Well, how about letting me stake you?
Stake me?
Yeah, a lot of fellas get grub staked up here, and before you know it, they hit pay dirt. You always were a lucky son of a gun, Joe.
Listen, breaking my back swinging a pick is out of my line, Mike.
We can talk about that later. I'll let you have whatever you need. Well, come on over here and meet the boys. Hey, Red, I want you to meet my kid brother, Joe.
Oh, it's time we shoved off, Mike.
Joe, I've been thinking. You wanted to take Dolores tramping around with you. It's not good for her. Cafes aren't such a good atmosphere for a little girl to grow up in.
It's the best I can do for her right now. We'll be seeing you.
Let me know if you need anything. I want to do everything I can for the kid.
I figured that was the way you'd feel. So long.
Goodbye, Dolores.
Bye, Uncle Mike. You have to come and visit us sometime.
Oh, you bet I will, honey. Take care of her, Joe.
He's an awful nice man, isn't he, Daddy?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have any little girl like me?
No.
Where are we going now? I'd like to... Oh, look!
Okay,
oh,
you huskies.
Oh, what a wonderful dog.
King, quiet, King. Come
on. Dolores, stay away from them dogs. Stay away, you hear?
Oh, I like you, dog. What's the dog's name?
Why, his name's King.
Is he yours?
Yes, he is.
King. Oh, you're very lucky to have this dog. And all the others, too.
King is a fine dog, young lady. And what's your name?
I'm Dolores. Dolores Hannigan. This is my daddy.
Come on, Dolores. Come on, I said.
Bye, King. Bye.
Well, I'll be. In all my years on the trail, I've never seen anything like it. A little girl coming up to a pack of huskies she's never seen before and not a quiver of fear. Well, it seems like the young lady has a way with dogs, huh, fella? Hannigan. He looked a lot like Mike. And yet, you growl at him.
As Sergeant Preston stood musing, Joe Hannigan and his daughter made their way to a small square cabin. Before the man had a chance to knock, the door jerked open.
For the love of Pete, what kept you, Joe?
Oh, I wanted to see my brother, Mike. He sure went for the kid here.
Yeah. This ain't no place for us, see?
I know what I'm doing. She's got me out of more jams than a smart lawyer. Folks just take one look at her and figure I must be all right. You should have seen her with that policeman a while back.
Policeman?
Every dog she meets eats out of her hand. The policeman's dogs treated her like she was a long-lost friend. A big dog named King.
King? Dog named King with a policeman? Hey, that must have been Preston of the Mounties. Kind of interferes with my plans, Joe. I didn't know he was in town.
You've been shy of lawmen ever since that time in Frisco, Charlie. We don't have nothing to worry
about.
Forget
about that. Remember this. Keep that kid of yours away from the dogs up here. They ain't house pets, see? They're work dogs. Most of them have wolf blood in their veins.
Yeah. Dolores, we want to talk for a while. How about going outside?
All right, Daddy.
Just don't go too far from the cabin.
Bye.
Bye.
I sent for you because I think we can make a rich haul.
Yeah. But before we start anything, Charlie, I'm going into the cafe business.
That brother of yours must be a pushover to catch you in.
Mike ain't taking me into the business. He's moving out of it. I got things figured this way. Tonight, about 9 o'clock, you ought to be sitting in his office. You'll be outside the window.
Build a butt like you.
That's right. And you let him have it.
Yeah, we can't pull that with a Molly in town. He'll be at the cafe, keeping his eyes open.
So much the better. 9 chances out of 10, he'll go straight to Mike. You can drop him, killing 2 birds with 1 stone, you might say.
The town's pretty noisy about that time. Yeah, I could slip in the front and mix with the crowd. Yeah, I think you got something there. But remember, we go 50-50 on the deal.
Meanwhile, King and Sergeant Preston were making the rounds of Dobie City. Mike Hannigan walked with them, talking happily about his niece and his brother Joe. The great dog King had tilted his nose in the air, stopping for a moment. The cold air brought the scent of the small girl he recognized as a friend earlier in the day to his keen nostrils. Reaching up, he gently caught Preston's hand in his teeth, pulling him toward the river. Even before they reached the water's edge, Mike's eyes widened in horror. They saw Dolores delightedly jumping from one ice floe to another, unconscious of the danger of the treacherous current. King knew from experience its power, and quickly he lunged into the icy water. The piece of ice Dolores stood on spun suddenly, throwing her off balance.
That's it, boy!
If he only gets to her before that ice starts downstream.
Dolores! Hey, Dolores! All right, boy! Now hold on to him, Dolores! He's got it! If he can only make it fast!
Face white, Joe stood by helpless, watching King, every second seeming like hours. King did make it back, and it was Mike who took off his mackinaw in the biting wind to wrap it around the shivering girl. Joe stood by later, too, in the Yellow Nugget Cafe, while Sergeant Preston and Mike rubbed warmth into his daughter's cold hands and feet.
Oh, King, old boy, you did a great job, fella.
He's such a good dog.
Joe, you shouldn't have brought her up here. This is no place for her. She'll be running risks like that all the time.
No, I don't think Joe made a mistake, Mike. We want to build worthwhile communities in this wilderness. One of the best ways to do it is to establish family life. You know, men come to the Yukon chiefly for gold. But children like Dolores make them want to use the gold to build something better.
That's your job, Molly.
Well, not entirely, Joe. It's everybody's job. King knows that. Men who have their families with them here look for gold because it's a means to give their wives and children security. It's everybody's job to protect that security. Dolores is your family. And believe me, she deserves the best.
It was 9:10 that night. Dolores was tucked in bed upstairs over the cafe. And with King at his side, Sergeant Preston mingled with the crowd in the Yellow Nugget, looking carefully at the men lining the bar and at the card tables. In his office, Mike Hannigan went over the cafe's books.
I thought you were with the boys, Joe.
Hey, I want to see you.
Oh, I'll be out in a little while. I want to enter a few things in the books.
I can wait, Mike. Besides, Dolores wants you to tell her a story.
A story? Me?
Yeah, sure. Just make something up. You know, something about that girl with the yellow hair that went to see her sick grandmother?
Oh, you got it mixed up, Joe. The kid with the yellow hair went to visit three bears. I think.
Well, go on up and tell her about him. Maybe that'll put her to sleep.
It was King who heard the shot first. Sergeant Preston walked quickly to the office. As he stood in the doorway, King hurled all his weight against the Mountie, knocking him to the floor. Not a moment too soon.
Window. He's firing from outside. Thanks, King. Steady, old boy. He's already got Mike. Wait, King. I'll shoot the light out, then rush over and open the door. There he goes, King.
No, no, you don't. I'll show you. Get off me. Get off, you mutt. Get off my gun. Hand it out.
Hold it, King. Hold it.
Get this dog away from me.
All right, boy. I've got the gun.
Get him down.
Get up and remember you're covered. Now walk ahead of me. In this door.
Sergeant Preston, it's Joe.
Joe? His back was to the window. I thought...
You know him, huh? I think he shot the wrong man, Mike.
O'Brien. Charlie,
he might be O'Brien to you, but he's a murderer known as Conklin. Charlie Conklin in San Francisco. I've been trailing him ever since I got the handbills on him. He worked with another man in the States. But the authorities never had any definite information on his accomplice.
Joe, he came in about 5 minutes ago and asked me to go up and tell Dolores a story. Said it would put her to sleep. But she was already asleep when I got up there.
They double-crossed me, the dirty skunk. You was to be in that chair.
You mean Joe knew you were gone?
Sure he knew. I'd have got you too, Monty, if it hadn't been for that dog of yours.
You're under arrest, Conklin. Mike, I think this might have been Joe's way of making Dolores' security sure. You'll have to be her father now. Yes, King? The case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at the same time. This is Jack McCarthy speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
The challenge of the Yukon. The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. Henri Louis Durand was a small man, heavy for his height. But what he lacked in stature was made up for by the tallness of his tails, and nothing pleased him more than to have an audience. Trappers and sourdoughs gathered about the hospitable warmth of the pot-bellied stove in the trading post as the old gentleman reverted to his favorite theme.
Ah, I tell you, my friends, that courage is in the blood of our family.
Listen, Louis, when a man's in a tight spot, he's bound to be afraid.
Oh, fear. We Durands fear nothing. Now, my uncle, that is to say, he was my mother's uncle, my great-uncle, Henri-Louis Philippe Durand, for whom I was named. He told me himself of the bravery of the French soldiers, how they endured the terrible cold and the winter march to Russia.
I don't know about Russian winters, but believe me, there ain't no place as cold as the Yukon. Enough to make a man lose his mind, the freeziness of the place.
Durands know no weakness, my friend. And the men with Napoleon were soldiers. They did not lose their minds.
Yeah, they must have had ice in their veins to start with if they was marching in weather any colder than it.
Oh, no, no. They were red-blooded fighters. Oh, have I told you how in the freezing cold my uncle, Henri Louis Philippe Durand, had his leg cut off to hear?
Yeah, we heard about it, Louis.
Only the last time you told it was only a little past the ankle.
What'd them Russians do when they saw him coming?
The Tsar himself fated Napoleon in the Kremlin. Ah, and my uncle said the Kremlin was beautiful, with torches for light and food and footmen serving the slightest wish. When the Tsar himself petitioned Napoleon, Napoleon said that as one emperor to another, he would spare the country.
Yeah.
So, after the Russians had extended every hospitality to the victorious troops, Napoleon turned his armies back, waved a glorious farewell to the Tsar, and started again for France.
You mean after mushing all that way, he just turned around and went back home?
Oh, of course they were laden with precious jewels and... Oh, Marie, my child, will you open the door?
Yes, Papa.
Hello, Marie.
Why, it is Sergeant Preston and his dog. Come in.
Papa
will be so glad to see you.
Hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Marie. Sit down, Sergeant. Oh, Marie, those biscuits I smell must be about to come out of the oven, hmm? Perhaps the good sergeant would like some.
I could do with some of them myself, ma'am.
Oh, of course, Sam. You shall have as many as you can eat.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Sam. Won't be any left for the rest of us.
What about them Russians and French, Louis? What'd they do with all the jewels they got?
Pete, yes, indeed. Well, now that the sergeant is here, he's a man of education. My story will be just a needless repetition of history. Did you see Pierre as you came in, sergeant?
No, I didn't, Louis. He's the fellow who helps you at the post, isn't he?
Yes. Of late, he's spending so much time out of doors. Ah, well, no matter. Here comes Marie with the biscuits. Perhaps we'll have something to drink with him, eh?
Sergeant Preston's patrols often carried him into the territory of the Yukon Indians. And while he made Durand's trading post his headquarters for a few days, he visited the nearby tribes. Marching along the trail back to the post, he met Tom McGregor, a young prospector.
On King! On you, Husky!
Going to call on Marie, I'll bet, Tom.
That's right, Sergeant.
I've often wondered. Of course, it's no concern of mine, but you and Marie...
I know what you mean. But when I'm with her, well, I
I might just as well be dumb. Every time I try to get up courage to ask her to marry me, the words won't come.
Uh-huh.
And what bothers me most is this fellow Pierre Vance. He's already asked her father if he could speak to Marie.
Evidently, he isn't as tongue-tied as you are.
That's just it, darn the luck. But Marie, well, I don't think she feels the same way he does.
Meanwhile, at a creek running through Henri Durand's trading post property, Pierre Vance knelt low where the wind had swept the bank clean of snow. He looked quickly over his shoulder.
All of it, mine. If there were only some way to fix things.
Sifting the gravel with shaking fingers, he separated the glittering flakes of placer gold. Then, slowly, he made his way back to the post, where Henri Durand was sitting quietly beside the stove. As Pierre hung up his mackinaw, he watched the elderly man narrowly.
Mr. Durand.
Yes, Pierre?
I have spoken to Marie.
Oh, so she has told me.
Then she has told you that she refused me.
But take heart, Pierre. I myself favor the match very much. I would not, you understand, persuade Marie to marry a man against her will. But on the whole, I think you would make a good son-in-law. Polished, gentleman?
Thank you, sir.
Indeed. You are unlike that close-mouthed MacGregor. Perhaps my boy is only a matter of time.
But I have told Marie how I feel. She refuses to listen to me.
Women are sometimes like that. They don't know their own minds. My own opinion is that if she gets used to seeing you around, well, who knows? Will you add to the fire, Pierre?
Of course.
And take my advice. Women are not predictable. Another thing I've been meaning to tell you, Pierre.
Yes?
Should anything happen to me, I've left you a share of the trading post in my will, so that if Marie wants to go on with the business, she will have to depend a bit on you. You see?
You have made a will?
I am not growing any younger. Oh, my uncle lived to be 92, even after those strenuous campaigns in the Napoleonic army. But these days, a man can never tell.
You are right, Mr. Durand. A man can never tell. It was certainly generous of you. And believe me, you will never know what it means to me.
It was shortly before dark when Sergeant Preston and King and Tom MacGregor arrived at the trading post. Tom watched Marie devotedly while King lay at his master's feet.
When will your father be back, Marie?
Oh, in a short while, I think, Sergeant. He and Pierre went out for a little while.
Pierre, huh?
Yes. You do not like Pierre, Tom?
No, I don't.
What's the matter, boy?
He paces back and forth, and then stops.
Well, seems like he's looking over to see what you think, Sergeant.
King's restless pacing was the outward sign of an inner sense of impending danger. A danger he didn't immediately recognize, and yet every sense was alert as he settled himself on the floor. Not far from the post, Pierre walked beside Henri Louis Durand. The lantern the younger man carried swung with each step he took.
How much further is this, Pierre? We have done much walking now, and it will soon be dark. Besides, I do not like the sound of those wolves. They are too close.
Just a little way now. Here, over here. That is it.
Oh, my foot! My foot, Pierre! I am caught in a wolf trap at last.
Pierre, help me! Pry this loose. It will tear my foot off.
Help you?
Why, you old fool. Why do you think I let you into it?
You what?
Yes, I led you into it. I set this trap myself.
Pierre!
Not because I want to marry your daughter. I thought at first that would be the only way to get the gold.
Gold? What gold? Pierre, don't stand there. I beseech you.
Gold down by the creek. Pass our gold to each other. You hear, and it is mine.
Pierre, listen to me. I do not know what you talk about. If there is gold, take it, all of it.
You bet I will. Every bit of it. That will of yours fix me up fine. I'll find some way to get rid of my thing.
No, Pierre. Pierre, don't leave me. The wolves. I'll die. Pierre!
At the trading post, King walked about restlessly. Finally, he caught the sleeve of the Mountie's tunic in his teeth and pulled it gently. Sergeant Preston took King's head in his hands.
What is it, boy? What is it?
It seemed as if the urge to articulate some sound the man would understand was King's greatest effort. His keen ears caught the cries of the timber wolves, and the dog became more insistent. At length, the Mountie rose, pulled on his mackinaw, and took his rifle, and together he and King went out into the Yukon wilderness.
All right, fella. I don't know where you want me to go. Lead the way. I'm with you.
Tom McGregor followed them. He, too, carried a rifle, but the dog's urgency was infectious. King listened, and his nose caught the unmistakable scent of human blood. King raced ahead, knowing Preston would follow him. As the wolves cried, King gave voice to a great defiant challenge, and he raced forward, every sense alive. His cry echoed back to the hungry wolves, but still he ran on, knowing as the scent of blood, human blood, filled his nostrils, that the hunger of the wolves would drive them to frenzied battle for the prize.
Stay back! Back, you beast!
Durand, his eyes glazed with terror, saw King. The dog ran from the timberline into the clearing, planting himself between the man and the approaching wolves. As the leader of the pack sighted him, King heard the animals pause in their crazed rush. The hesitation of the wolves was momentary. The leader sent a cry to the others, and King's heart lifted. Here, indeed, would be a fight. A fight to save a friend of the man who filled his heart with so much love. He had thrown down the challenge, and his life was at stake. A short time later, while...
You didn't...
Yes, I drank it. Leave it.
Hold on. Okay, here, now, don't let go. Hold on. I'll fix you an antidote. Oh, here. Here's the antidote. Here. Now, quick, drink it. There. Now you'll be dead. Give it 30 seconds.
What?
A martini? No, dear. Watch, I'll finish it. Yeah, see? Nothing deadlier than an olive.
What?
The antidote, Cookie? That's too bad you didn't trust your boyfriend. He was trying so hard to be your guardian angel, Sir Galahad Morrell. I stumbled into the perfect ending for the perfect murder. I was hiding outside, and I heard your phone. By the way, was that really poor Lola Jennings you were phoning again? You know, it's strange, because it's Lola who helped me plan your funeral all along. Cookie, she and I are going to get married. Surprise?
Police.
The police? They'll find the lady who was poisoned and the man she predicted would do it. Two corpses.
No, Doc. Three corpses.
What?
Three.
Tony. You.
I'll meet you all at the last stop. How's that? Can we die?
What a brave man my uncle was.
Papa, you are a true descendant of a brave man. Sergeant, I shall never be able to thank you in King.
No, my child, I was not brave.
Oh, he's just being modest. Of course, King did save his life, but your father stood in the middle of those wolves like nothing you ever saw.
Tom, you were there too?
Yes. Yes, he was. He and a good sergeant. And I am thinking, my child, that perhaps it is good to have a... close-mouthed son-in-law.
Hmm? Marie, would you? Would you marry me?
Tom, yes. Yes, I will.
Well, it looks like our work is finished here, King Boy. All right, Pierre. We're hitting the trail right now for Fort Mon.
And to think I wished for Marie to marry him.
Yes, King, old fella. Thanks to you, the case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They're sent to you each week at the same time. This is Jack McCarthy speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Not much to get into. Check out the show notes site, otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. Until then, have a great day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.